From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
You understand, I think our Father is just about more concerned about us being thankful than just about anything else. Because if you're not, you'll start going deviant into stuff and you start going sideways. Someone said, well, you know that old saying, Wayne, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I said, no, that's wrong. Don't use that saying. Well, it's a saying. I said, no, the grass is greener where you water it. And if you stop watering it or you stop being grateful, then you go sideways.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, a Thanksgiving message given by Pastor Wayne. We will learn that you and I were not born with an attitude of thankfulness. It must be learned. And we must be careful not to lose that attitude of gratitude by taking our many blessings for granted. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Holy Thanksgiving.
So would you take out your notes with me as we talk about being thankful? Now, I'm not just going to give you kind of a optimistic viewpoint on life. That's not it. I want to talk to you about the holiness of Thanksgiving. You know, I think that God is more concerned about us being thankful and grateful than just about anything else. You know why? Because people are destined to slowly go blind. And what restores your vision comes only through a renewal of being thankful once again. Because you'll miss all the things that God's doing. You'll miss the wonderful blessings that He's already given to you, and you'll just want something else, something more, something different. And God is saying, you're going blind is what's happening. How often people will come to me and they'll say, you know, I don't know what's going on. I said, you're not thankful. What? That's too simple. No. It's very profound. Once you restore gratefulness to your life, then you start realizing, I'm grateful for these people. I'm grateful for the breath that I breathe, the air, this beautiful place. I was telling my wife, after about 4 years of being here on Honolulu in 1995 to about 1999, we're having dinner, and I was so busy pioneering the church, I said to my wife, I said, honey, we've been here almost 4 years, and you know, and I looked at the ocean, I have yet to swim in that water because we just get blind to the beauty around us. And I mean, think about your own life. You know, how much do we take the time to enjoy what's around us? Because see, human beings are destined to go blind. It is gratefulness that restores our vision and our sight once again. And if you never become restored in your thankful-heartedness, then everything goes right down to just me, myself, my money, my business, and you lose everything else. I bet there's tons of families that are lost because of a lack of gratefulness once again. There's an old rabbinic saying that goes like this. It says, one day God's going to hold us accountable for all the things that He created for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. Thankfulness. I remember Aaron when he was about 7 years old. He had met a friend and he was coming up the driveway with his friend, and his friend's chain was off the sprocket of his little bicycle with training wheels, and they came up the driveway. I was working on the car, and Aaron said, Dad, my friend's bike doesn't work anymore. And I looked and saw the chain hanging. That's a real easy fix to put it back on. I mean, it just takes you about a second. But I thought I'd play with their minds a little bit. So Aaron said to me, Dad, can you fix my friend's bike? And I looked at it and I said, well, I don't know. It looks pretty bad. He said, well, what's wrong with it? I said, oh, man, it looks like the gyro and the flux capacitor is derotated. He said, what? I said, well, the inner sprocket is distended far beyond normal. He said, is that bad? I said, really bad. He said, what do we do? I said, usually we just throw the bike away when that happens. He said, but it's new. It's pretty new. I said, you know, usually we just trash it because it's far beyond repair. But because you kids look like good kids, I'm going to work on this thing and see what we can do. What do you think? And Aaron turned to his friend, and I'll never forget it. He said, watch this. My dad can do anything. I thought, oh, man, when he said that, I thought, not only am I going to fix this chain, I'm going to repaint the bike, put ape hangers on it, put straight pipes on it. And I think sometimes the Father is like that, our Heavenly Father. When there's a sense of gratefulness, it's like God wants to do anything for us. But when we lose that heart of gratefulness, why should He do any more? Because we won't even recognize it. Let me ask you this question. How easy is it for you to give thanks? What does it take for you to say thank you to God? Does it take some earth-shattering miracle with neon brights and flashes and peals of thunder before you say, oh, that was cool? What does it take? You know what I say to people? I say, we need to be amazable again. I love to make up words. Amazable. Well, what's that? The ability to be amazed. I mean, what does it take for you to be amazed again? Like, God, you're so good. Because it's all around us. See, if you don't, your vision is lost slowly for everything. And what God is doing, you can't see. And it changes the way you live. Today I want to talk about Thanksgiving. I want you to see this video. It's a got it off of YouTube, and you probably saw it before. But it's this guy that is, I guess he's camping, and he gets up and he sees a double rainbow, and he just goes nuts. I mean, every time I see it, I just laugh. It is just hilarious. But take a look at this, and it'll just bless your heart. Does mine every time. Take a look at this.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow. All the way. Double rainbow. Oh my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Woo! Oh! God, look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh. Oh God. It's so bright. Oh my God, it's so bright and vivid. Oh. Oh. Ah! It's so beautiful. God, it's a double complete rainbow. Oh, my front yard. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What's it mean? Too much.
Isn't that great? He's just going nuts on this. I just cry myself when I see that. But I showed this to one of our college kids at the college, and he said, hey, Pastor Wayne, the guy's stoned, man. He's high. I said, I don't think so. He said, the dude's on something. You can't be that crazy happy unless you're high. And so I pushed back on him. I said, when was the last time you cried over a double rainbow? And then here's the question. Do we have to get high to be thankful anymore? I mean, think about it. When was the last time we were that amazed at something God did naturally? It's like, man, I got to give you dope for you to get high like this. But it's like God is restoring to us the importance of being thankful and amazed at what God does around us. Do you understand? I think our Father is just about more concerned about us being thankful than just about anything else. Because if you're not, you'll start going deviant into stuff to see what is more amazing. And oh, this is, in this, and you start going sideways. Someone said, well, you know that old saying, Wayne, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. I said, no, that's wrong. Don't use that saying. Well, it's a saying. I said, no, the grass is greener where you water it. And if you stop watering it or you stop being grateful, then you go sideways. You see, people are destined to slowly go blind. And that vision is only restored with gratefulness. With gratefulness. That's why I think the Bible says, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks. Not necessarily for everything, but what? In everything give thanks. Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That event, well, maybe or maybe not. But the will of God is that you in everything stay thankful. Because you see, if you don't, you'll get bitter. You'll get weakened by this thing. You'll always be thinking negatively of it. And what the devil does is he looks for a weak spot in your life and mine through which he enters and deposits bitterness, retaliation, wrong thoughts, a lack of gratefulness, dissatisfaction. But he has to find a chink. He's got to find a crack, a weak point. But if we in everything give thanks, you know what thankfulness does? Here it is. It's like a broad spectrum spiritual antibiotic. So that when something, a bacteria, tries to enter, it keeps it at bay. But if I lose thankfulness, watch how junk gets deposited into your spirit and you get soiled. And what used to be beautiful is no longer beautiful. What is actually wonderful is no longer wonderful. And people are destined to go slowly blind. It is only through gratefulness that your vision is once again restored. I was playing racquetball, and I'm an okay racquetball player. I was playing with a guy named Richard, who was an excellent racquetball player, and a total beginner, his name is Gary. This guy couldn't even tie his shoes correctly. And so we're playing a thing called cutthroat, where because you only have three instead of four where you play doubles, cutthroat is where one person plays against two until he misses, and then another one serves, and then the other two play against him until he misses, and the third one goes in. So it's always two against one, and that's how we play. Now, when the two against one, our team only gets one hit, and then he hits, and our team, either one, hits, then the next guy hits. Well, Gary doesn't know the game very well, and so I hit it off the wall, and now Gary's left-handed, and because I hit it, he thought he's supposed to hit the next one when, you know, it's Rich's turn, and Rich is getting ready to hit it, and Gary turns around and whacks him right on the head. Bang! I thought, what are you doing? And cut Rich's eye so wide open that he's just bleeding profusely. Now, you got to see this. I'm 4 months old as a Christian at that time. And I went to Bible college when I was 3 months old. So 4 months, I'm a brand new, And I was brand new Christian, 4 months old in the Lord. Now, Rich is a great Christian. Gary, great Christian, but bad racquetball player. And so Rich is holding his head and he's saying this, thank you, Jesus. And blood is just dripping down, thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, Jesus didn't do this to you. What are you thanking Jesus for? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I was thinking in my mind, I would say, you know, let me kill him, Jesus. Let me kill him. Please, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So Gary, I said, go get some ice. And Rand got some ice. And then when we looked at it, it was deep enough. We'd had to go get stitches on him. And he kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I thought, man, I'd just say, let me kill him, Jesus. And so he's holding it. So I get him in the car and we're going to the emergency to get it stitched. And I said, Rich, you know, I'm a young Christian. And it's like you're saying, thank you, Jesus. One, Jesus didn't do this to you. And why are you saying, thank you, Jesus? And Rich said to me, so I wouldn't be tempted to say, let me kill him, Jesus. I said, I like you. You see, when you stay thankful in everything, it keeps your spirit from retaliating. It's a broad spectrum spiritual antibiotic that keeps the bacteria from entering in. For in everything give thanks. I wonder what Jesus felt like when he knew that he was being faced with the cross of Calvary, that he would be betrayed by his dearest friends, that he would then be stricken on his back, 39 lashes. Then there would be a crown of thorns beaten in with a reed, and the nails would puncture his hands and feet, and a lance his side. I wonder what Jesus felt like when he knew he was facing something. What did he do? Well, we ratchet back to the Last Supper, when he took bread to be likened unto his body that was about to be broken because he's going to break it. And then he took a cup and he said, this is going to be likened unto my blood that's about to be shed. And what does he say? Let's read it. It's the top of your notes as we talk about a holy thanksgiving. And let's read the scripture. Go. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had, circle that. When he had what? Now he knew he was about to go to Calvary, but instead of being upset and calling a legion of angels, he what? He gave thanks. Let's continue. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, he said, I'm facing a cross, but I'm going to give thanks. It was like he knew that if he did not give God thanks in the midst of this, it would cause him to be resentful. And he, though being all God, was also all man. And thanksgiving keeps your heart from getting soiled by the surroundings around you. And he gave thanks. Now, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I need to tell you something that's pretty interesting. I grew up a Catholic. I was an altar boy. And when we came to communion, they called it Holy Communion for Catholics. It's called the Holy Eucharist. And if you ask a Catholic, they probably don't even know what the word Eucharist is. They say, well, that's a bread. No, it isn't. It's actually a Greek word. And do you know when they call it the Holy Eucharist? It's not Holy Communion. The Holy Eucharist is the word, it says, and he took bread just before he broke it. He what? He gave. You know what the word thanks is? Eucharisto. You know what Holy Communion is? It's holy thanksgiving for whatever is about to come. The Eucharisto. You is the word for good. Charis is the word for grace. It's the good grace of God that allows me to go through this, and he will protect me. I am thankful. Isn't that precious? It's a holy thanksgiving. Holy Eucharisto. Eucharist. And we're going to prepare our hearts for that. Some of you are going to go, not necessarily to Calvary, but you know that when you leave this, this service, you might be going home to an empty house. Some of you are going back to a financial breakdown that you still have to resolve. But if you go into this with anger or resentment, that's why you can't resolve it. But if you begin to change your heart and say, Lord, I don't know why this happened. I'm sure it's my fault. But Lord, I'm thankful that you are going to protect me. I was talking with a man just the other day, and he was saying, you know, I'm thankful, Wayne, but you know what I can't handle is I'm just resentful because they took my son and he's living with his grandparents and it just makes me so mad. But God's blessed me with all kinds of stuff. And I stopped him and I said, why would you want your son to come back with that kind of heart? You'll mess him up just like it messed you up. Is that what you want? At least he's living with his grandparents. His grandparents are probably doing him good. Until you become a thankful father, you don't want that son back. You'll mess him up. You see, and I said to him, do you understand the holiness of having a thankful heart? It changes your life. You see, listen carefully. Your future is not what lies ahead of you. Your future is what lies within you. And that's why a thankful heart is so critical to what God wants to do. And so he builds in us a thankful heart. And when we take communion today, you can look at that bread and say, you know, this broken bread is the house I'm going back to that's empty, or the situation, but I get to be thankful. God, that you will help me to be thankful in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. It keeps you from having a weak spot through which the enemy will deposit into you and cause a soiled soul, a stained heart. You say, but it's not easy. That's right. In fact, would you write in number one, thanksgiving is something that must be learned. It doesn't come standard equipment when you're born. In fact, most kids come into this world selfish, right? They cry because they want food. They poop it out and cry again because they want food. Everything is selfish, selfish. That's why when you're a little kid and your uncle gives you a dollar, you run off to spend it. Your mother grabs you by the hair, pulls you back and says, say what? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, you have to learn it. It's not in us. And that's why when things go abnormally wrong, we must learn to give thanks. How grateful I am. Choose to praise Him. I don't know why this is happening, but it's a holy thanksgiving. When Anna and I bought our first house, it was a really teeny house, 720 square feet, and it's all we could afford. And we just made a commitment to say to one another, what a nice house. So we'd come into the house and we'd say, what a nice house. It was really dumpy, but we said, what a nice house. Yeah, isn't this nice? We go in the kitchen, what a nice kitchen. Isn't it nice to be able to pour a cup of tea? Let's sit down and have tea. Isn't this nice? And we just say it. And you know, since that time, you know, we've bought and sold 12 houses, but you don't wait until your house is nicer before you're thankful. Start way back here. Because thankfulness is a part of your heart, not a part of the circumstance. See, you can't wait for that time to keep a soiled spirit before the circumstance teaches you to be thankful. No, because then the circumstance that'll be negative will teach you how to be negative. Then you're again a thermometer and not a thermostat. So we just started saying, hey, I'm thankful. We're grateful. And it built in us a thankful heart. A very famous restaurateur with some 80 restaurants was asked in an interview, when did you become successful? He said, I was successful when I didn't have a dime in my pocket. I just needed time to get things together. See, that is what lies within you. Your future is not what lies ahead of you. Your future is what lies in you. That's why we must learn to develop a thankful heart, lest you go blind. And all the things that God has for you, you'll never be able to see it. So why should God give you more? Because you can't see it. But if we're thankful for what we have, our vision opens up again and we begin to see. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, one of the ways, would you write down number two, is start to learn to look beyond what is happening to what God might be able to do. Look beyond the current situation to what God can do. What can He do with this? Well, I'm lonely. Be thankful. Why should I? Because it's about your heart, not about the circumstance. And when your heart is thankful, God can start to develop you. In the midst of your loneliness, you can develop a new skill, read, develop your knowledge, go back to school, start playing the piano, get some lessons, ask somebody for help, anything to develop yourself. And when that season is over, your roots are deeper now because of that barren season, and you won't stay shallow. You don't have to develop deep roots when everything is watered for you. And so during that time, have a thankful heart and look beyond to what God can do. If you don't look beyond the current situation, you'll miss what God is wanting to do. That's why James says it in this way. Would you read with me? Go. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Here it is. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in. What can God do? A friend of mine in a very prestigious position was fired, not because of his wrongdoing. It was situations going in the company, and they let him go. And on the way home, he tells me the story that he's a wonderful Christian man. His wife is a wonderful Christian woman. And on his way home, he called his wife on his cell phone. He said, honey, I'm on my way home. She said, good, I'm preparing dinner. He said, I have something to say. What's that? Long pause. I was just fired. Fired? I'd no longer have a job. You mean we are now unemployed? Yeah. Then his wife said something I'll never forget. She said, well, just come on home, honey, and let's show the world how Christians live when these things happen. It's time to give thanks.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero, and on behalf of the students and faculty of New Hope Christian College, I want to personally invite you to join us for Christmas on the Hill. That's right, it's happening Friday, November 30th at 7 p.m. in our chapel right here on the campus in Eugene, just above Churchill High School. The program will feature old and new holiday favorites presented by our fabulous creative arts students and staff. Now, seating is limited, and admission is only a suggested $5 donation. So come, join us for Christmas on the Hill, a new holiday tradition at New Hope Christian College. For more information, you can go to newhope.edu. Come and enjoy Christmas on the Hill.